Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is the word I was going to share yesterday until Bracken so rudely interrupted me with a glorious, yummy reading of the gospel. So I wrote about it, so if you read the devotional, it's not unfamiliar. And you may hear it again, CTKers, on Sunday. This is one of those words that's been fascinating me this week. Wrong gospel. This is the famous story of the shepherds and the angels appearing to them and them coming to see Jesus in the manger. It says in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace in men and goodwill towards them." It came about when the angels had gone away and gone into heaven that the shepherds began to say one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to them and to us." They came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statements which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were being said about by the shepherds. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Sort of lay a foundation about shepherds in the days of Christ. They weren't quite the position of not nobility but respect as they were like in the David's time. In the days of Jesus, they were considered among the poor, kind of the outcast of culture and society. And they, it's not that they were like dishonest people, they were just on the lower tier culturally and cultural acceptance and in terms of wealth. And so it's interesting to me that these angels came to shepherds. And I think that's one of the things that happened is God is saying that the gospel is good news that brings a great joy regardless of what circumstance and situation of life you're in. He's not a respecter of persons. And then when the angels told them that this was good news and great joy and told them a sign for you, is that you're going to find this baby wrapped in rags, basically. And again, I believe that's the Lord speaking to us, saying that don't think that your situation and who you are based on what's happened to you, what's been done to you, or what you've done yourself disqualifies you from Christ clothing himself in your humanity and living his life, even if you feel like all you have to offer are rags. But this statement that the angels make to the shepherd, they said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now obviously that's a word for the whole world, right? But the angel is speaking to these shepherds, and he says, "There has been born for you in the city of David a Savior, you shepherds." Often, or maybe even most of the time, when you ask someone, "Is Jesus Christ your Savior?" And if they're born again, they'll go, "Oh, yes, yes." And you say, "Well, what does that mean?" They go, "Well, it means that I'm forgiven, that I'm going to go to heaven one day, that Jesus is here to help me, live, he's, whatever. He's my Savior." But that statement is much bigger than going to heaven and sins being forgiven. There's a place in Romans 5:10 that says, For if while we were enemies, Christ died for us. We were reconciled by the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved. And this is the literal language, in his life. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in this life. I'm really happy that I'm saved from ever going to hell. I'm really grateful that I'm saved from the penalty of my sin. I'm really grateful that what Jesus lives in me by the Holy Spirit, whatever that means. I'm grateful for all those things. But he says in the scriptures that we were reconciled by the death of his son, how much more shall we be saved in his life? And as we've said a gazillion times, and more so even lately, the gospel is my inclusion into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he lives under. And so when he talks about being a savior, what he was telling the shepherds was more than just saved for heaven, sins forgiven, all that. He's saying, there's born for you someone who in his life, because you're going to be placed into his life if you believe, and he's going to save you from yourself. He's going to save you in your situation. He's going to live his supernatural life in you on a daily basis and save you from the reign of sin. The reign of sin that would create things like greed or lust or pride or depression or anxiety. All those represent fallenness, insecurity, all those things. Jesus has come to save us from the reign of sin and the impact of the fallen world, and even save me from the destruction of other people's behavior and the things that are going on in this world. That's good news. And as I've said before, the word good news, gospel, in the Greek actually is good news that is so extraordinary. It's good news about a victory that is so extraordinary that things will never be the same again. That's what the gospel means. And the good news is that Christ lives in you. He didn't just die for you. He died for you so that risen from the dead, he could come live in you and live his life through you in your life situations. Because the place that's really hit me this week, it's just blown my mind. I'm so grateful for how the Holy Spirit just adds these details. He could have said it a different way. He didn't have to say this at all, but he said it intentionally. Verse 20, and the shepherds went back. Went back to what? Being shepherds. Still not having a lot of money. Doing the night watch. Having to deal with bears and lions. Having to do life stuff, blood and guts living. They went back to the hillside in the dark to protect the sheep. They went back to the blood and guts of their situation in life. But this time they went back glorifying and praising God. See, it's not that Jesus always removes us from situations and circumstances. But when we discover what it means for Christ to be my Savior, to be saved in his life daily from my fallen, false self, from my tendency to sink. Again, I love the example of Peter walking on water. It's what walking in the Spirit is. Jesus overcoming your tendency to sink. That's the Christian life. That's the life and life more abundant. But it happens when we go back. So I don't know what it is you go back to today. Is it a place where there's pain? There's because of something you've done or something other people have done, a work situation, if there are relationships going on, if you've been hurt or betrayed or rejected, if it's just sometimes mundane stuff and just details and pressures, and I hate the word stresses because Jesus doesn't get stressed out, but stressors and all those things that make up life, your life, you can go back into those places instead of pleading with God to change those that place you go back to. And he can do that. But you can go back to that place glorifying and praising God because Jesus is more than big enough to handle that. You're not going back on your own to roll up your sleeves emotionally and try harder to walk through it. You go back knowing that you're in union with Christ and Jesus is not threatened by the situation. He's more than big enough to carry you through that victoriously. Everything in the situation may not change, but he will certainly transform you as you learn to let him do it through you. Because what he cultivates in us internally that is eternal is much more powerful than what price we're having to pay externally because we live in a fallen world. So I love this. And they went back. They didn't graduate to a palace. They went back to the nitty-gritty, blood and guts of everyday life as a shepherd, but they were different. They went back glorifying and praising God. I was been talking to someone last few weeks that's going through some stuff, and they were busy doing warfare and all the kind of stuff you do, and I understand that, but we get so demon conscious. We practice the presence of darkness. God wants us to practice presence of Jesus. And the enemy loves attention. And so the encouragement is, you're in Christ. He's got you. It's his battle, not yours. Just praise, glorify him and praise him every step of the way, because he's carrying you. You know, I hate that thing about the footprints in the sand. Like, there were one set of footprints, and then there were two set of footprints, and this person asked them a question, well, why are there now two set of footprints? He said, well, the two set of footprints is like when I was going through a hard time, Jesus, you know, or two set of, I forget the story, but he picks me up and carries me, so it's just his set of footprints. I thought, Jesus is always carrying us. We're in Christ. There's always just one set of footprints. That's his. And we can just glorify and praise him for that. Amen? That's what the gospel does. It changes our situation, even though the situation hasn't changed. Suddenly we're walking in glory, in the grind. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I just want to offer up this Eucharist today. There's several friends. I was getting a phone call on my watch, name of a person that doesn't live here. And it couldn't have been for any other reason. There's something that's going on that's not good, so I will find out after this. Also, somebody else in our church, their brother just got taken to the ER. And so there's all kinds of stuff going on. So I want to offer this Eucharist on behalf of all those who are being afflicted. And we'll just, whenever you plead the blood of Jesus, all you're doing is decreeing the victory of Christ at the cross over the reign of sin and the consequences of the fall. Amen.